Are you ready for war? Are you ready to die? See, because if you can't deny yourself, you got no business in a war. Then you're too busy trying to keep your life instead of rescuing somebody else's. Hello. Now listen, I want you to turn to the book of Genesis. We got a lot of work to cover. Praise God. Praise God. Genesis 4. Hallelujah. Do you remember when we talked about that Eve never had the opportunity to birth an offspring in the image and likeness of God? Does everybody understand? She never had the opportunity to produce an offspring in the image and likeness of God because Satan deceived her and self was birthed, right? Is everybody with me? So they were removed from the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, hello. So they never got the opportunity to have offsprings in the image and likeness of God. So we knew that the offsprings had to be produced out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because God removed the tree of life. He said, listen, I can't allow you to eat from the tree of life and live forever in that condition. Is everybody with me? Now, I want to share something. First of all, God never intended for Adam and Eve to experience good and evil. His intention was never that they experienced it. He wanted to teach them it. So when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they experienced it. And because they experienced it, they couldn't eat of the tree of knowledge of the tree of life now. Why? Because that experience would have stayed alive forever. Is everybody with me? Now, we know that Eve in Genesis, when I say to go 4, read it with me, starting at verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, which could have been who knows how long, could have been 150 years, 200 years, who knows. In the process of time, now Adam and Eve still had more children in the process of time because there was other children produced on the earth. There was man. Amen. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now, I want you to look at Cain and Abel as the first fruit, a first offspring of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Does everybody get it? That was good and evil, not righteousness. Hello? Everybody all right? Now, let's see what happened. Hallelujah. Okay, in verse 6. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, you will not be accepted if you do what? Well. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now, you got to remember something. Sin is associated with thoughts. Jesus said, if you lust over a woman in your mind or over a man, you have sinned. So when you see the word sin here, it's associated with thoughts. Because a transgression is the action. Are you with me? Now, you got to remember something also, that when after Adam and Eve fell and judgment came and the serpent was judged, then Adam said, this is my wife Eve, who is the mother of the living. What was it? The living of the what? Because now the life of the flesh was in the what? Blood. So this living was the temporary realm living, not the eternal living. And again, so Adam and Eve's first two children were the fruits of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree. Has everybody got it? Now we know that, and let's go a little further. Hallelujah. Now, let's go over. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to go back to verse 7. He said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But you should what? In other words, you should be ruling over your thoughts. You should be ruling over your thoughts. I'm telling you, men and women of God in this house, that it's time to grow up. And quit blaming everybody else and all of your circumstances and how you're reacting. You have the final choice in what your response is and how you act. Well, I'm just not going to take that. Well, I don't like this person. Well, I don't like that. I don't like how this is going. I don't like it. Man, you need to just die and shut up. And give everybody a break, including yourself. Hallelujah. Now look at, he says, and you should rule over it. It's amazing how many people just speak what they think. There's no rule over it. They have no rule over their thoughts. He said, man, how many people get upset? They make decisions on emotions, offenses, and all kinds of stuff because they have no rule over their thoughts. And let me tell you, those are the worst, dangerous individuals you can ever associate with is someone that cannot rule over their thoughts. They are danger. Hello? Praise God. Okay, let's go a little further. Now Cain, verse 8, talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. You know what? Evil prevailed. Evil won that battle and moved out a seed of good. Is everybody with me? But I'm telling you, now that Jesus came, we're to take dominion over it. Now that man right there, could not take dominion, could not rule. God warned him, didn't he? Man, you should be ruling over your thoughts. You should be ruling over them. And because he didn't rule over them, he took heed to the voice of the stranger and killed his brother. And we know the outcome of it. He became a vagabond. And he was sealed and so forth and brought a curse down that family line. All because he would not rule over his thoughts. Are you with me? Okay. So we should be ruling over our thoughts, and God has given us a way. Now, we want to talk about cooperating with the character of Christ. And tonight, we're going to talk about, I think this is the third one, about cooperating with the character of Christ in your thoughts. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. You mean I can have dominion over my thoughts? Yes. Yes, you can. We got a wonderful teaching of who told you that. You know, there's two wonderful teachings. Who told you that and don't go there. In other words, when that voice of the stranger is there, man, don't go there. People want to go there and pet it. Oh, let's see here. Oh, that's a good voice. Oh, yeah. Then they start lusting and all kinds of stuff. Then they start shaking hands with them. Or fear. Oh, that fear comes. Oh, you know, and they, hey, let's shake hands. Give a high five, low five, and all around five. And once you touch and agree with that voice, it's now ruled you. Hello. Praise God. Cooperating with the character of Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I know we all want to cooperate with the character of Christ, but you know what? You've got to make the choice to want to. You've got to have a desire to cooperate with the character of Christ. You've got to have a desire. Just like what the Lord said, listen, man, sin's knocking at your door. He's knocking on your head. Hello? Is anybody in there? The lights are on, but nobody's home. Sin is waiting. Remember, sin is associated with your thought life. Okay? In verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Is everybody there? Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Don't lose what? Heart. Don't give up. Fight. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing, which is the message of truth. Are you getting a message of truth? Amen. Whose minds the God of this age has what? Blinded or bound. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Does everybody understand that? Who's the one that binds your mind? Satan. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. My mind's not bound. I just speak whatever I feel like. No dominion. No rule. It doesn't mean you're not going to get goofy thoughts. It means what you do with them. You know, when you go into a grocery store or whatever, they got music, don't they? That doesn't mean that you got to do the Watusi with it. Right? It means, okay, you hear it, and you get out, and you kill it. You kill it, those seeds. Praise God. You don't have to moonwalk up and down the aisles or do the disco duck. Hallelujah. What was that guy that did all the John Travolta? What was he? The Saturday Night Live? Or some people that go to a grocery store and do Saturday Night Live or whatever. Down, up and down the aisles, listen to the music. And they open their doors to the demonic activity. And verse 21. And you who once were what? Come on, read it with me. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your what? Mind. By wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you what? Oh man, highlight, continue. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. What is he saying, man? Come on. Quit getting tossed to and fro. If you continue, because the enemy wants to do is alienate you from God. And he uses it by your thoughts. In fact, they're really not your thoughts. They're the voice of the stranger. 2 Corinthians 10. Man, you can tell when somebody is taking heed of the voice of the stranger. Their whole countenance changes. Man, you'd be praying, praising God and thanking God with somebody, and the next moment, you know, you see the person the next day, it's like, whoa, what did you eat? It's like, man, who told you that, brother? I mean, they're all miserable, and then they're blaming their job. Yeah, well, it's my job. No, it's not your job. It's you. Well, it's my wife. Well, it's my this. It's my that. Man, you don't understand all the bills I got. Oh, you haven't cast them on the Lord yet, huh? Hello. Now, I'm not saying those things can't contribute. Hello. But it's your responsibility to rule over them. See, if the enemy can snag you in the one, he knows he's got another one set for you. He's got another one set, man. He's like, okay, if I can get him on this one, I can get her on that one. Man, I'll just keep placing those little popcorns until they fall right into that trap. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10, and verse 3. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you read it with me? For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, even though we live in the carnal realm, you're not warring carnally, right? For the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. They're not natural. You know, I think people still have a hard time with this. But mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, and a stronghold is a memory lie, isn't it? Casting down arguments. Where are these arguments? In your mind. That's where the argument is. So do this, don't do that. Right? And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now I want you to understand something. Bringing every thought and imagination. Once a thought has penetrated, it will produce an image. Once that image is in place, you're in trouble. Now you got to fight to get rid of it. It's like somebody just did a full color page. There's no words needed. There's just that page. Did you ever hear somebody say a picture is worth 1,000 words? Amen. Once that image is in place, you're close to trouble. That's why the enemy loves to attack you while you're asleep with dreams. Why? Because it promotes image. It promotes an image. And with this image, people begin to ponder on it for a period of time. And now you've got to get rid of it. You know, there are people that are afraid of certain things and whatever, and they have this image in them because of a certain event that's happened in their life. And I'm telling you, you need to start erasing these images and get rid of them. Amen? An image is worse than the thought, because the thought is the penetrated image. It's like somebody just sent something in, and once it's in and that thought has come and it's in there, and you allow that thought to enter, once you've entertained it, it opens up. It's like one of those video thank you cards, you know, those welcome cards or get well cards. You open it up and poof, a video shoots out or whatever, you know. Hallelujah. Now we know that a strong man is a memory lie, isn't it? Amen. It is instituted by demonic influence through spirits of inheritance. Is everybody with me? Like verbal abuse, physical or sexual abuse, society deceptions like education. Hello? All of these things are implanted in an individual, aren't they? I mean, when we grew up, some of us believed that we came from animals. You believed that you were a monkey, and every time you saw an animal, a banana, you wanted to jump. But did you ever notice that implant of an image will actually affect everything else? Are you with me? Praise God. So all of these impartations of demonic influence was through verbal abuse, society deceptions, even education, traumas, false religion, spirits of error, lying spirits, spirits of fear. They are established in the mind, and these strongholds are open doors of demonic activity, resulting in torment, false beliefs, bondage, insanity, suicide. Because a stronghold is a memory lie, it will be as associated with fear or Satan's power and deception, which is Satan's weapon, right? A stronghold is out to disprove. I know this is a lot. Get the tape. A stronghold is out to disprove, rebel, confuse, mistrust the truth of God's word and provisions of his promises. That's its purpose. In other words, it always misdirects you. So every time an individual is trying to do the right thing, that stronghold kicks in because it's a presence of a spirit. Hello? That image comes And you don't even realize you're saying no to God and you've gone the other way. Because that demon is ruling your thoughts. He's got access to you. Remember, we're not fighting flesh and blood, are we? Oh, hallelujah. Go to 2 Timothy 1. Now, Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is what? Fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I know there was a lot said in that last simple verse. Like I said, get the tape or the CD and review it, because I've got a lot of things to cover, and I always run out of time on Tuesday, and I don't want to tonight, God willing. But we can always stay if we want in priority. Hallelujah. Second to me, and don't, hey, listen, cast that thought down now. I heard it. Oh, man, I got to work and get up early tomorrow. Die. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. This may just save your life. Read it with me. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Not a spirit of fear, right? A spirit of fear supports the spirits associated with strongholds. It's a supporting agent. It also supports and negates power, love, and sound mind. Fear. Is everybody with me? Fear won't let you know your dominance of power over darkness. Number one. It won't allow you to know your dominance of power over darkness. Number two. Fear breaches God's love and promotes depression, loneliness, low self-esteem, and blinds you of who you are. I'll repeat it. Write it. Number two, fear breaches God's love, promotes depression, loneliness, low self-esteem, and blinds you of who you are. Oh, hallelujah. And the third thing. Fear infuses a double standard mind. It infuses a double standard mind, which is easily motivated by worldly attractions, feel-good emotions, and an inability to trust. Oh, hallelujah. Now, we just said that what does fear do? It negates power, love, and sound mind. So the first thing it does is it won't let you know your dominance of power over darkness. The second thing, which is associated with love, it breaches God's love and promotes depression, loneliness, low self-esteem, and blinds you of who you are. And the third thing, which is sound mind, it infuses a double standard mind, which is easily motivated by worldly attractions, feel-good emotions, and an inability to trust. Is everybody there? Are these all associated with the thoughts and mind? You betcha, man. Go to Job 3. It's in the employment section. Job 3. You know, I mean, if you really think about it, where's the battlefield? It's in the mind. Job 3 and verse 20. Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter of soul? Who long for death, but it does not come, and search for it more than hidden treasures. Who rejoice exceedingly, and are glad when they can find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, and whom God has hedged in? Everybody read verse 24 with me. For my sighing comes before I eat, and my groanings pour out like water. Keep going. For I think, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. And what I dread has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. What he's saying here is, listen, the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me. Job focused and imagined, the thing that he focused on and imagined happened to him by thought. Does everybody understand that? The worst thing, the thing that he greatly feared happened. Why? Because he touched and agreed with it. You know, there are people who fear about doing certain things, but it's a fear that's beyond respect. It's such a great fear that it actually, you're touching and agreeing with it and focusing on it, and it has access to you now. Because what you're doing is negating the Word of God. And you're accepting that image of fear, the thing that's you fear the most. It will come to pass. Why? Because you're touching and agreeing with it. Instead of rejecting it, severing it, hello, you're fearing the worst thing that could happen to you. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks, so he is. So if that fear is hitting you the most, that thing that you fear the most is going to happen to you until you get rid of it. Because it's an image placed in you. There's a difference of a fear of respect to something. In other words, I don't walk around all day and think that fire is going to fall on me and burn me up. Because you know what happened? It will. If it's the worst, you know, because I'm touching and agreeing. And you don't know how it's going to happen. But if fire comes before me, I'm going to reverence it. I'm going to respect it. I'm going to have a little fear from it. Because I'm not going to say, oh, no problem. I can just jump in it, no problem. Because I'm going to cook if I do. Unless it's something ordained by God for whatever. You know, they tried to cook my three brothers in the Old Testament, and that didn't happen. Hallelujah. So the worst thing that you could fear, the thing that you fear the most, if you allow it to have its place in you, will happen. Because as a man thinks, so he is. Do you understand it? Now, let me share this with you also. This fear is one of the most effective areas that can change an individual's physical stature. Because what happens is to try and overcome it, the body's constantly releasing chemicals that it's actually eating its own body. Now, fear is associated with anxiety, isn't it? Stress, worry. An individual usually gets sick. That's why the Bible says, a joyful heart is good medicine. Well, a fearful heart is toxic. And the devil knows that. Go to James 1. Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 1. Are you okay? Now you gotta, okay, you wanna cooperate with the character of Christ. Well, did Jesus think that way? No. Now there were places he didn't go because he was told not to. Because it wasn't his time yet. James chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy, hallelujah, when you fall into various troubles, not if. It's amazing. People think, that, oh my God, I just can't believe I'm going through this stuff. Hello. Welcome to the potter's house. Now, there are some areas where you might have an open door because of it. But God always makes a way of escape. He always makes a way of escape. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various troubles. He didn't say run. He didn't say blame everybody else. He said count it as joy. Knowing that the testing of your faith, oh, hallelujah, produces what? Patience, endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If you're constantly running, if you're constantly blaming, you're not allowing patience to have its perfect work. And you will always lack. You will always lack. You'll always be in a position where you need and you want. You need and you want. Let's go a little further. If any of you lacks what? Wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be what? Given to him. But let him ask in faith with what? No doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Oh, he may seem stable in one, but I'm guaranteeing you, he ain't stable in that. That's a temporary stable. Because the Bible says he's unstable in all of his ways. He may seem like he's got it together in one area, but I'm telling you, that's temporary. Because even that will crumble. Patience, endurance. You know, some people just can't wait. They can't hold on to the storm. They can't ride the storm out. They want to run from the storm. They can't wait. Fear and anxiety, they push, don't they? And it promotes double-minded and instability. Yeah, well, I need to have it now. You know, people, yeah, I'm willing to wait. They'll talk right in front of your face. Yeah, I know it. Yeah, okay, I'm going to be paid. I'll wait. Next thing you know, they leave your presence and they're on the phone. Yeah, we need to do this. They can't wait whatsoever. They are unstable. And let me tell you, one thing you don't want to be is an unstable spouse. Because you're a danger to your family, not a help. You're a danger to your family. You'll be moved by every wind of doctrine, every emotion, every feeling. You'll react, and everything that's not going your way, you will constantly be in lack. And God certainly will not trust you. And it's not about the circumstance of getting man's respect. It's about earning the trust of God. Because we want to walk in Christ-like character, ethics. Even at your jobs and whatever. You want to operate according to the character of Christ and how you respond when you're told to do something. How is your response? Are you rebellious? Do you jump up and down and roll and have a temper tantrum? Are you willing to receive correction? Do you want to be the leader of everything, or can you humble yourself? Well, these are all associated things with thoughts, man. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself. Self is nothing but a thought life. Self is nothing but a thought life. It has false expectations, false images, always promoting oneself. It's nothing but a thought life. Oh, hallelujah. In Romans 8, praise be to God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. Is everybody there? Are you all right? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. That means carnal thinking, carnal living, worldly thoughts. You don't live no longer according to the way the world thinks. You live according to the way the Lord thinks. You don't respond according to the way the world thinks. You respond according to the way the Lord thinks. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of what? Bondage again to fear. But you received the spirit of adoption by whom we what? Cry out, Abba, Father. The spirit of bondage to fear. These are strongholds. These are mind-binding spirits. And they interfere with the mind of Christ so that you will not cooperate with the character of Christ. They promote carnal mind, the carnal mind, and they bring you into bondage. And you don't even know what's happening, but everybody else does. First Corinthians 2. Oh, hallelujah. You know, with fear, this is where multi-personality spirits come about. Traumas. Children that have been abused and constantly abused when they were younger. Because to avoid the pain, people who've been POWs and prisoners of war because of the tortures they go through. Even in occults, when people are abused, or even in fraternities when they're initiated, going through initiation because of the abuse to the individual, they block it off and they become somebody else. Why? To block off their pain. Some people become somebody else to block off the shame. Is everybody with me? These are open doors to demonic presence, which promote multi-personalities. First Corinthians chapter 2. And with a multi-personality is a presence of a spirit. It's not just, somebody, well, that's just how they, they protect themselves. Yes, that's how they protect themselves. It's called a spirit. They become somebody else. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 9, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, even eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So there must be fellowship with the Spirit, right? Now we have received not the spirit of the world. What's the spirit of the world? Spirit of Antichrist. Why? Because the ruler of the world is who? Satan. So the principalities are all associated with the spirit of Antichrist. He is one of his big henchmen that is in his throne room. And he has many. It's like he's got his own throne there and his own table. And he has his, just like the 12 apostles, he duplicates all of this. We know that the council of the Lord is in his throne, where there's counsel coming from there, which is distributed then through the Holy Spirit, messengers of the Lord, through angels, distributed to the prophets spoken in, and also distributed to those who are listening. Because things are spoken in. These are counsels of the Lord. Did you notice that God is now bringing forth deliverance through the body of Christ? Everybody's talking about deliverance through the whole body of Christ. Why? Because that was the counsel of the Lord that was sent forth by the angels of the Lord, distributed into the prophets, distributed and spoken in and brought forth, all the way to the offices of God. Has everybody got it? Because God is telling His people, I'm coming soon and we got to get cleaned up, because I'm not coming back for a blemished church, I'm coming back for a clean church. You know, we always wondered why, how is this going to get clean? Deliverance. Oh, hallelujah. Where are we? Okay. And we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. Well, how are you going to know the things that are freely given to you without fellowship with the Spirit of God? And if you're so bound up by mind-binding spirits, how can you receive the things? They're always being stolen. Didn't the devil come to steal, kill, and destroy? You know, you've got to step back sometime and go, listen, have I lost my first love? Am I zealous for God the way I was? Am I still humble like the first day when I cried out to God and asked Him for help? Have I gotten so prideful that I've laid everything down and no longer using my weapons? Am I using the things that God has given me, or have I laid it all down right now? Let me tell you, that's where He rebuked His church. He said, yes, I see all your works and stuff, but you've lost your first love. Now get back to your first works. If you got so caught up in money and in work that you're no longer laboring unto God, but you grumble and complain because you labor unto yourself. Are you still willing to do whatever it takes? Because if you're not, you'll be taken. Because the enemy seeks whom he can devour. Are you playing double-mindedness? Are you doing one thing before the children of God and doing another thing on your jobs? Are you taking heed to the voice of the stranger? Have you opened that door and called that person that you know you're not supposed to call? God knows it all. He knows everything. And everything that is done in darkness will be brought to light. You know what? People lose reverence to God. They lose the first love. Now they just do what they feel like. That's according to the worldly ways. That is not godly ethics. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 14, but the Spirit, verse 13, these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural mind does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, the carnal mind can't get it. Now, let me share something with you. If you're not putting into practice these things, it's being stolen. That's why the Bible says, and those who practice such things won't enter the kingdom of God, will they? But those who practice ethics will enter the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further here. Praise be to God. In verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the what? Mind of Christ. So listen, the spirit of the world is Antichrist, spirit of bondage. He promotes confusion, doubt, unbelief, rebellion, fear, etc., and all the other stuff. He's a principality that messes with thoughts and promotes the mind of self. In Romans 12. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your responsibility or your reasonable service. You know, people don't even have time to commit themselves to the Lord. They're too busy fulfilling self. And do not be conformed. Hello. Do not be what? conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to the thoughts or images of the world that control, manipulate a person with bondage, but renew or bring to remembrance the things of God, which allows us to walk in discernment. Is everybody with me? Demons access individuals by their thoughts. That's how it starts. Now we know that demons access individuals by inherited curses, ancestral curses. But after you break all this stuff off and you walk free, let me tell you, they're not done. The Bible says that the devil comes back. He still claims you at his house. He's been having free rent for a long time. Go to Mark 9. Thank you, Master. Mark 9. Praise you, Lord. Mark chapter 9 and verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit." Man, they even knew what these were. You know, think about it then. Man, you try to go around and tell the body of Christ, listen, there's a mute spirit. Some of them say, "You're out of your mind. The devil doesn't bother me." Of course not. You're Hotel California for him, man. You're the resort. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. Boy, I've prayed for people like that. They become so rigid. I know that demon's there. I'm like, whoa. It ain't time for deliverance yet. That demon perks up every time you get near it. Bam! They stiffen up like they're dead. Stiff board. Because that spirit does that. So I spoke to your disciples that they could cast it out, but they could not. And he answered and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when they saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. I told you, the devil don't play no games. He attacks the children. You are infected at childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "Lord," with tears, "I believe. Help my unbelief." Humble man. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him, enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He's dead." No, he got slain in the spirit. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Lord, what happened? Why couldn't we cast him out?" And Jesus said to them, "This kind come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Oh, hallelujah. Deaf and dumb spirit, it blocks out the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It blocks out the voice of God. Anybody, let me tell you something. That's the first demon that will attack you. You could try to talk to somebody and look like they're in outer space. Huh? That's a deaf and dumb spirit. Now, they may not come to that arena, but it's an individual where no matter what the word of God is, the devil is always stealing it. The deaf and dumb spirit tells you, you can't read, you can't write. Man, we had a guy that came in and said he couldn't read and write. I laid hands on him and cast that devil out of him, that deaf and dumb spirit, one morning the Lord told me to. The next day, the dude was reading and writing. Hello? Because the Holy Spirit said to me it was nothing but a lie. This guy can read and write. But the devil will tell you you can't. It's a deaf and dumb spirit. It's the first spirit that wants to attack you from receiving the things of God. Why? Because he binds your mind. He causes you not to remember. He steals everything. Why? He's protecting everything and promoting yourself. Amen? Praise God. It's all associated with the mind. Most of the time, it can happen with a trauma or it's inherited. It associates with ungodly soul ties. It also promotes multi-personality. Multi-personality. Is everybody okay? Praise God. James 1. James chapter 1. Now, if you're hearing, man, that's me. Praise God. He's being exposed. Man, that's me. Well, we're going to tell you how to get rid of these things, man. You know, most of the time, your greatest struggle is just before you're getting freed up. Hallelujah. I wonder how many people couldn't make it here tonight. You don't think God had a lot of people wanting to come here tonight? Amen. And they couldn't even get in the front door because of the demonic hindrance in their life. And where is it? Thoughts. James chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 12, would you read it with me, please? Blessed is the man who what? Endures temptation. And where you get tempted from? Amen. In the mind. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. So let me tell you something. I want you all to get this. So when the temptation comes in the thought, you say, no, I'll take the crown of life. No, thank you, but I'll take the crown of life. And you build your crowns up, and when you go home, you give them to the Lord. Y'all get it? The more you resist temptation, the more your warehouse is filled with the crown of life. Man, people are trading off the crown of life for the temptation. The ones that they've stored up, they're giving away. They go fulfill the lust or promote self. They're entering the storehouses and the treasures that have been saved for them. They're selling their birthright, just like Esau, to fulfill the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Yeah, the Lord, he put me through this trial. No, you had an open door that the trial allowed you to go through. He just said it. Now, God will allow your temptation to be a test. He's there. He sees it. Okay, you open the door here. You know, there's a temptation. But I've made a way of escape. God always makes a way of escape, even when you're in the wrong. He says, okay, let's see. What's he going to do? What's she going to do? When a temptation comes. Oh, grumble, complain. Hallelujah. Oh, run. Look at this. His weapons are down there on the ground. His armor is off. He's run. Now listen. There is wisdom in departing from evil. Do you understand that? And that means your weapon, your armor and everything is still on. It's time to go regroup and shoot from the distance sometimes. You got to use wisdom, you know. The Bible says one calls a thousand, two calls a legion. Sometimes you're just outnumbered. and you need to go get some other warriors to kick butt. You know, this one's just a little bit too much for me, Lord. I'm just going to depart from this. I give you glory. See, but you're not caught in the ring then, are you? And then you go back and you start interceding. You put some prayer requests in. You get counsel. Or you touch and agree with brothers and you kick butt. Hallelujah. See, but pride will tell you, man, I can take care of this. Come on, devil. Oh, God. I got dominion over this. Whoa! Next thing you know, you're walking home and you're looking for your armor. You've been tore up naked. You know, you're like, oh man, what happened, man? You touch and agree with pride when the Lord said depart. Hello? Oh, well, you know, this cigarette, no problem. I got dominion over it. The devil's going, yeah, light it. Light it. Come on. Light it. Let me get some access to you. Hello? That's okay. I got dominion over that. No problem. Next thing, bam, 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 and you're knocked out cold. Don't even know how you got where you were. Next thing, you went right back in that cycle. It doesn't matter what. Is everybody okay? Let's go to verse 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own what? Desires. Woo-hoo. How did that desire get there? Thought. And enticed. Then when desire has what? In other words, when you've touched agree with that, it produces an image. And now you can't shake that image out of your mind. It gives birth to what? Sin. That's the image. Hello? And sin, when it is full blown, brings forth death. So you got to kill it before it gets full blown. Do not be deceived, my brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Or his own will, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Praise God. Temptations, thoughts conceived, give birth to imagination. Y'all get that? Imagination. It maintains that desire, doesn't it? It keeps it promoting. It's like a well. And it promotes transgression. Ungodly soul ties, imaginations, knowledge, desires, emotions. Even your wrong choices have attached spirits to them. Are you with me? The Antichrist spirit promotes Satan's purpose and function and will. And his desires it promotes. They are promoted through evil spirits. Anyone agreeing with them makes himself a slave by obeying these spirits. Are you with me? People with nightmares. Those are associated with traumas. Things in their life that they tried to block out. But you can't block out a spirit. Do you understand that? You may try to block out certain things, but that spirit has access to you. Until you truly sever it and get rid of it. First of all, you got to get rid of the spirit that's bringing it. Did you ever have a dream and swore you were there? Man, I'm telling you what. There are people that still go have dreams and use. Listen, if you were taken in a dream and use, you're in trouble. If you're taken in a dream and people around you are using and you don't, you wake up before you use, God made a way of escape. But if you're having dreams and you're using, you're in trouble. Are you hearing me? That spirit has got access to you and still has a hold on you, and it's a mind-binding spirit and a spirit of bondage that's still going. That demon ain't gone yet. If you're still dreaming of using, you're in trouble. Are you hearing me? You don't go nowhere or don't do nothing. You wait till you're delivered. Hallelujah. You know, when we were, think about some of the things that have opened doors to our life. What about music? Right? You don't think that when you walk by a certain place and you hear that old music, it puts all of a sudden that picture comes up. Man, I remember Lucy. You know, that image comes up of that old music. Oh, man, I remember this. And then some of it comes up and you remember terrible times of your life. You know? Because those things are there, but you have dominion over them now. You're the rule over them. You know what you do? You go, cast it down. You kill the corruptible seed. You do what you're supposed to do. Hey, listen. The Bible says don't be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. How stupid can people be and still breathe? Trying to walk right with Christ and still hanging around with people that are boozing and everything else. What you have done is you said no to God and yes to the devil. And you are a danger to your family and everyone else around you. And you're still promoting carnal living. Hello? You know, you go to work. If you're the first one to go turn on the music, you turn it to a Christian station. Hey, somebody might get delivered. Like you. What do you want to do? You want to keep a Christ-like atmosphere. Let them go change it. Right? Okay, you've done your part. The blood's not on your hand anymore. Hey, you can always ask at work, hey, do you mind if we, you know, you might have to duck when you ask to turn on the Christian station. But at least you've done your part, you know. You know, think about when we were younger. Man, I took enough LSD to kill a city. I knew Mescaline's family. Man, I'd hunt through cow pastures to get the mushrooms. I'd brew everybody tea, man. I was out there. I mean, I was out there. I lived to get stupid. But think about all of these hallucinogenics and these trips that we went on, opened up the door to demonic activity. And then when you came out of it, think about how many times you nearly overdosed. You were overdosing and you were still alive. Think about how much demonic activity entered you. Hello? Those are open doors of the mind, weren't they? They're mind-binding spirits. Think about what people involved in occults. What are they attached to? The mind. Ouija boards and all the other stuff. Man, those things will promote suicide. They promote insanity. They bind the mind. Amen? Nothing worse than an anxious mind. You need to take the Holy Ghost baseball bat and beat your brain out. Hello? An anxious mind is terrible. The person is in constant torment, can't sit still. Go to Philippians 4. An anxious mind will prevent you from getting things in priority. You can't discern priority things with an anxious mind. Philippians chapter 4. Hallelujah. I only got a couple more scriptures, so we're going to finish, okay? And then we're going to read a deliverance prayer. So I need somebody to pass out those prayers. Oh, hallelujah. Glorious. Philippians 4. Is everybody there? How many know God's not the author of confusion? Amen. So where there's confusion, it ain't God. That's a mind-binding spirit, isn't it? Now, there's times when you just don't know what to do, and that's okay. That's not confusion. Hello? When you're waiting on an answer, you say, you know, I just don't know what to do now, but I will. as I wait on God. But confusion, have you tried to do 45 things at one time and get nothing done? That's confusion. You know, one of the things about these spirits, too, they promote forgetfulness. I'm not talking about old age. I'm talking about demonic oppression. Amen? Have you ever been oppressed? Oh, yeah, heavy? Oh, man. Woe is me. You know, one of the worst things that promote that is alcohol. That alcohol spirit loves to bring oppression on people. They drink till they can't stand. And then they think, oh, and then I wake up more depressed. In Philippians chapter 4, is everybody there? In verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice and let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is where? At hand. Be what? Anxious for something. Be anxious for one thing. Be anxious because you can. For nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Nada. But in everything by what? Prayer and supplication. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, I prayed about it. Oh, God. I said, Lord, I commit this to you, and I'm going to go do it. Yeah, you prayed about it. Did God tell you to go do that? Did God tell you to open that business? Well, it's been put on my heart. I don't mean if it's on your heart or not. Just because it's on your heart don't mean it's God. The Bible says that your heart is the most deceitful thing. That anxious spirit can't wait for confirmation. That anxious mind is a dangerous person. Unstable. Be anxious for nothing but prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, there's an area where there's false peace. People get a peace because they did it. Yeah, I did it. Whew. You know what they got rid of? The anxious spirit, because it obeyed them. Does everybody understand that? You obey that anxious spirit and he lets off on you. Then you think, oh, I got peace now. Praise God. It must have been God. No, it wasn't God, because anxiety is going to hit you again as soon as you start what you were doing. Do you understand that? The Bible says that we're to become like-minded with Christ. In other words, cooperating with Christ's character. Amen? God, again, is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of anxiety either. I want to close at Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is. Sitting at the right hand of God, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ. In other words, deny yourself. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil, desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, coarse jesting out of your mouth. Lying. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new man, who was renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. We're going to take authority on these tonight. I want you to pull out this prayer. It's called Decree Godly Thoughts. I want us to all read this together. Praise God. Cooperating with the character of Christ in thoughts. Has everybody got them? Praise God. You all ready? Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, washed by the blood, His blood, and guided by the Holy Spirit. I ask for your forgiveness for allowing ungodly thoughts and all corruptible seeds to lay hold of my memory, soul, or any part of my being. I repent for coming into any agreement or entertaining the voice of the stranger and every fiery dart from Satan's kingdom. I take my authority as your child, and I bind, blind, mute, and deaf every mind-binding spirit, deaf and dumb spirit, every tormenting, deceiving, condemning, hindering, lying spirits of bondage, insanity, deception, perversion, fear, jealousy, anxiety, anger, pride, resentment, familiar, antichrist, oppression, infirmity, slumber, and there's one, confusion. I want to say confusion. Every strong man and any other spirit associated with any stronghold in my life, and cast them out of me and chain them to the fallen angels in hell forever in Jesus' name. I curse every corruptible seed that was planted in my mind, memory, eyes, ears, heart, imaginations, emotions, dreams, and will. I command that these corruptible seeds wither and die, breaking their power and loosing myself from every associated spirit with these seeds. I now cast out and chain these spirits to the fallen angels in hell forever, putting a bloodline of Christ around these areas, protecting me from evil penetration in Jesus' name. I now bind my mind to the mind of Christ and my spirit, soul, and body to the presence of the Lord, His love and truth in Jesus' name. I decree that godly thoughts will now arise and reject ungodly thoughts by taking them into captivity and casting them down. I now gird my mind with the helmet of salvation and increase my faith with the shield to prevent fiery darts from leaving an impression. I decree that I have a sound mind that cooperates with the mind of Christ, and that He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world, in Jesus' name. I now submit to God, resist the devil, casting my cares upon the Lord because He cares for me. I receive the love of Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit with peace, joy, and righteousness. I thank you, Father, for my new freedom and want to be a witness of your power to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. And to God be the glory. Amen. Now listen, if you're struggling, pray this prayer. Kick butt. God has given you something to use. Use it. Don't be used by the devil through the thought life. But let Christ arise in you with the mind of Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name.